Today I get to preach with this sword. I want to direct your attention today to 2 Samuel, the 23rd verse. 2 Samuel, the 23rd verse. And what we find here is a list in 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter, a list of David's mighty men. And the scripture says here in the 11th verse, and next to him was Shema, the son of Agai, the Hararite. The Philistines gathered together at Lehi, where there was a plot of ground full of lentils, and the men fled from the Philistines. And can y'all say that with me? And the men fled from the Philistines. Then verse 12 says this, but, everybody say but. But he, Shema, but he took his stand in the midst of the plot and defended it and struck down the Philistines, and the Lord worked a great victory. Can somebody shout amen? Father, today I'm asking you that you would challenge us by the power of your Spirit, by your word today, Lord. Let faith arise. Let there be a shift. Let there be a shift today in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated today. We've been preaching on a series called Pushing Back the Darkness. And we've said several times, the world's in a mess, right? The world is in a mess. And families are in a mess. Marriages are in a mess. Our cities are in a mess. Our schools are in a mess. And the world seems to be getting darker and darker and darker. And the challenge that I've been placing before you is I've been trying to move us to the place of being warriors against darkness and pushing back the darkness. But what I've said over and over is that I can't move you from being a squatter to a soldier or a warrior. A squatter will not be a warrior. A servant nor a squatter will ever fight for what he does not believe does not belong to him. If he is not convinced that something belongs to him, he will not fight for it. And so we've been establishing and trying to convey what the Word says about us being adopted, about us being heirs of God, about us being children of God, so that we can move from sons or from squatters and servants to sons to warriors, right? Here's what I want you to understand is I need your mind to go a little deeper in the story. It's amazing. It's amazing to think, Shema, oh my goodness, man, he must have been rippled up, man. He must have had the pecs of old Hulk Hogan, man. He must have had the biceps. Are y'all hearing me? Scripture doesn't say that. But you know what Scripture does say in history? Shema was a son of the house of Israel. See, what we have to understand is that God called Abram out and he said, Abram, I'm going to give this land to you. And the promise was passed down to Isaac and then to Jacob, who became Israel. And Shema was a son of it. He was a son of the promise. And whenever the Philistines came in and they said, we're going to take this land, there was a man named Shema that stepped up and took his place as a son and said, not on my watch. Man, how
How relevant is it today, what's going on in the Middle East? See, what you may not grasp, is if you'll do a little bit of research in your history, is the reason, one of the reasons, other than spiritual warfare that's taking place and the end time, is that this is a setup, really. But I want you to understand that the Palestinians, the reason their heels are dug in is that in the early 20s, the British came to them. We were in World War I, right? And the British came to them and said, hey, we need you, the Arab nation, we need you to come and join and fight with us against the Ottoman Empire, against the Turkish Empire, right? And we need you to help us defeat the Ottoman Empire. And so there was an agreement. There was a literal a promissory note that was written up, and it was called, it's called the white paper notes, and the Palestinians, literally, it is what they look at as their declaration of independence. And so whenever you hear that they're angry that that Israel is occupying their land, they're saying, we have a piece of paper that says this land belongs to us. But listen, the Israelites have been there for 3,500 years, and they weren't promised a piece of land by the British, but they were promised the plot of land by God Himself. So they're dug in and they're saying, we will not give in or give up what belongs to us. Oh, that the believer would have the same tenacity. See, let me just tell you. How many know that Israel's a little bitty tiny nation? Have you ever considered the numerics over there and how small Israel is numerically, and all of the nations around them, how many people are over there that are against Israel? But let me tell you, I could just predict right now that if I were to say, have you ever considered one time that those enemies that are around Israel would be able to defeat and Israel would be destroyed, you would get in my face and you would say, it ain't gonna happen, Pastor, because the word said that those are God's people. Oh, but yet, we don't have the same conviction about the fact that we are adopted, that we are the children of Almighty, we are the heirs of heaven. We don't have the same conviction. Wow. That's a thought process. I've come to realize that as a son in the house, it's my responsibility to stop the thief from taking what belongs to us. I've come to understand that instead of complaining and griping and whining about the condition of our city and our school and our neighborhoods and our children, that it's my responsibility to step up and push back the darkness. I've come to realize that I'm the problem. Come on now. That we're the problem. Wait. That's a good message all in itself right there. We are the problem. See, believers, listen to me. We've come to a place where we've decided, you know, it's just the world we live in. You know, it's just today's culture. It's just the new norm. Guys, if it's today's culture in my house, in my neighborhood, in my city, if it's just today's culture and it's just today's new norm, it's my fault. Because we did nothing to stop it. The church, listen, the church was never meant to be a continual triage unit for the saints of God. Oh, come on. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Pastor, can you give me a Band-Aid? Lord, could you give me another touch so I can get out, go out and get my hiney kicked again this week? So I can hold on one more day, Jesus. That's kind of the mentality. We're going to go back out into the darkness. I want to be the resistance. Do we believe that we're heirs? That we have a promise that we're, listen, we're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. That everything that we put our hands to will prosper. That we're blessed going in and coming out, rising up, laying down. And every place we put the soles of our feet, He will give to us. We have a promise because we are the heirs of God. We are sons. Listen. There's a passage of scripture and it talks about the end time. 1 Thessalonians, and it's the second chapter, or 2 Thessalonians, second chapter. And he's talking about the coming of the Lord. And he says it's not yet. You'll know when that time is. But he says this. He says, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Lord, we know that, don't we? But he says, only he who restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. The word restrains means this. It means to prevent someone or something from doing something or to keep them in control or within limits. Who is it that's restraining? Matter of fact, if we go over and look in the King James Version, it says, he that doth let shall let until he be taken out of the way. Now listen, I just want you to understand this. There's been a lot of theological discussion over who is it that's going to be taken out of the way. It's not the Holy Spirit that's going to be taken out of the way, because there's going to be a revival to the Jews after we're taken out of the way. So I want to submit to you that he that doth let and shall let until he be taken out of the way is the embodied a believer that is full of God, that is standing in the way and resisting against darkness. You and I are the only thing in the way of the enemy from having his complete way in the earth today. You and I. What if the church stood up and said, not on my watch? What if the church stood up and said, not in my field? I'm an heir. I'm a son in the house. And you know, some of you might be thinking today, man, Pastor, you sure are being super spiritual today. You sure, you know, let me just tell you something. If we would stand up and believe what the Word of God says, who we are and what we are, then something supernatural would shift. Wherever we are, there would be a shift. We are the problem. We are the issue. Number two, there is a supernatural warfare going on in the heavens. there is a supernatural war. Every time I pray about Israel, I see this supernatural warfare going on in the heavens. You know what? There's a supernatural warfare going on in the heavens right here over your city. There's a supernatural warfare going on in the heavens right here over your house, over your family, over this church. There's a supernatural because he said that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. There are dominions over certain arenas and over certain areas, and we're not engaging. I've said this before, but have you ever recognized that there are dominions of power over certain places? We just think, you know, Chicago's, that's just a dangerous place to go. I mean, seen all the stuff on Chicago in the news. Where the rest of you been burying your head? Let's trace that back a little bit. Where was the most mob activity in the 20s and the 30s? Listen, no matter what avenue of life you have come from, I love you. So I'm not bashing on any, but I'm still going to say it. A city like San Francisco, what comes to mind? Homosexuality. What comes to mind when I say L.A.? Lust for power, for popularity. Come on, Hollywood, right? What comes to mind when I say New Orleans? Witchcraft. There are dominions and pockets of power that we're not even realizing and understanding. And guys, I want you to grasp today that there are dominions and powers trying to set up over our city right now, over your neighborhood, over my neighborhood, over our families right now. And we're not engaged in the fight. If we are the problem, then would it be too far for me to say, then we are also the answer? Listen, 1 Peter, the second chapter says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him that has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I want you to understand, we are the priesthood, we're the holy nation, we're the peculiar people, we're the ones that's supposed to be standing up and pushing back the darkness. We are the sons of the house of the promise. Listen, I want to establish position a little bit. I want you to understand. We've talked a lot in first in Ephesians, the first chapter, and he said, "Man, I just wished your eyes could be open. I just wished you could realize that you've been adopted. That it's the richness of the mercy. It's the richness of the grace of God that's chosen us and that's adopted us." bless them. And he said, I wish your eyes could be opened so that you would know with all the saints what is the glory of the riches of the inheritance in the saints by Christ Jesus. And listen, then he steps into chapter 2 and he said, but you were sometimes, we were depraved, we were sinners, we were the ones that were the sons of wrath, that were disobedient. He said, but you have he raised up in Christ Jesus and made to be seated in heavenly places in him. You have the position. You're a son. You're an heir. We are the answer. We don't have to accept the condition of our city. Wait, come. I hate it. I hate that we look around and we take a position of defeat. Well, there's nothing I can do about it. I don't have any power to change it. Are you kidding me? If the church would be the church, if we would take our positions as sons. Let me just ask you this. When's the last time that you complained about the condition of your city? When's the last time you complained about the condition of your schools? When's the last time you griped about the condition of your neighborhood? But when's the last time you got on your face and you begin to cry out to God and you begin to push back principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places? When's the last time you went to war? Listen, I don't know if you've ever recognized it or not, but if you were to go in the scripture and you were to begin to categorize and pull out the parables that Jesus has given us, can all the men in the house, can you just stand up for just a second? Would you stand up? Listen, here's what the scripture of God says in Mark chapter 3. He says, but no one can enter into a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, then indeed he may plunder his house. Guys, I just want you to understand that you're the husband, you're the head, you're the fathers, you're the grandfathers. And when all of Israel fled, Shammah stood in the middle of the field and said, I'm not going to be encumbered by fear. I'm not going to be encumbered by all of the other stuff that's going on, and I got to get back to watch the cowboy game, or I got to get back to do this or to do that. He stood in the midst of the field and said, not on my watch. This is my field and this is my house, and you can't come in. Sit down, guys. All you ladies, stand up. Y'all thought y'all were going to get a squeaky by, huh? Here's what the scripture says. Matthew 25 says, as the bridegroom has delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at the midnight hour, there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom, come out and meet him. Then all of those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. Ladies, I want you to understand the responsibility that you have. You have that sensitivity. You have that discerning of God. And I want you to understand the problem is that we're asleep in the house. We're asleep on the watchtower. We're not keeping an eye out. We're not being sensitive to the things of the spirit world, and little by little the culture of the world is coming in, and we need to recognize that it's our fault that our children, that our kids are in the condition that are in. It's our fault that rebellion reigns in our house. It's our fault that the authority structure, moms and dads, are upside down in our house. You can be seated. If you're a student in the house, stand up. Whether you're junior high, high school, or college, stand up. Look at this. Matthew chapter 5 says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all that is in the house." Listen, I know that you go into hell every day. I know that you go into darkness every day. I know that the enemy would love to try to tell you that you don't have anything to offer, that you need to shut up and sit down because you don't want to be embarrassed. Let me tell you, the only time that you're really going to be embarrassed is when you stand before the Father, when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and He said, "What did you do with the light that I gave you?" You're the only thing standing in between hell and those friends, that the people that you call friends at school. You are the light of the world. You sit down. You've been strategically placed in the kingdom. Every one of you, dads, fathers, husbands, you've been strategically placed in the kingdom. Mothers, you've been strategically placed in the kingdom. Students, you've been strategically placed in the kingdom. Yes. Well said. Our cities are a mess. Our schools are a mess. Homes are a mess. Marriages are a mess. Lawlessness is increasing. Darkness is taking over. Demonic forces are wreaking havoc. The only thing standing in between darkness and the world is us. With the Spirit of God inside us. Understand that. With the Spirit of God on the inside of us. Listen, I believe that God is looking for another Shema. I believe that God is looking for another man or another woman that will stand up and say, "This is my pea patch. This is my city. This is my neighborhood. This is my school. These are my children. This is my marriage. This is my church." And you will not take it on my watch. I believe that God is looking for another Shema that will say, "Greater is He that is within me than he that is in the world." And some faith would rise up that we're actually that chosen generation, that we're actually those adopted children, that we actually have power with God, that God actually listens when we pray, and supernatural things actually happen when we step up and when we step against the darkness. I believe that we are laborers together with God, and if we will go, He will go with us. And if we will do, He will do with us. If we will act, He will act with us. If we will fight, He will fight with us. Maybe I can catch it next time and go a little bit further. But I want, at some point in time, we're going to talk about what is our push strategy. What is our push strategy to begin to infringe on the powers of darkness? To begin to step on the toes of the enemy. Part of that is men and ladies of honor. Part of that is FCA. Part of that is us going into the schools and doing something about it and stopping the griping and the complaining. And let's go in and let's take back what belongs to us. Today, would you stand to your feet with us? I'm going to ask Pastor Brian and Pastor Mandy if you would take your place. Pastor Judy, if you would come and stand right here. And I'm going to ask you if you would hold this sword just like that with the heel pointed towards the people. Flip it over. There you go. Today, this is a call to arms. Today, I'm asking you to wake up. Today, I'm asking, I've been asking the Spirit of God that faith would rise up on the inside of believers. That something would shift on the inside of us and we would realize that we're the issue, but we have the answer. I'm looking for men and women that will be shemas. I'm looking for men and women that'll say, no, wait a minute, this has been promised by God. I'm a son of the house. I'm a son or daughter of the promise. I'm not giving this up. I'm not a squatter. I'm not a servant. I'm a son. And because I'm a son, I'm also a warrior. And I'm asking today, this is a call to arms. I'm asking you if you would accept the call to arms and say, you know what? We're gonna begin to join with you in your prayer, Pastor, for strategies. And we're going to begin to activate our faith. We're going to begin to activate our feet and our hands. We're going to begin to activate in spiritual warfare. And we're going to step up in a call to arms. And we're going to begin to take back our city. We're going to stop being okay with crime. We're going to stop being okay with corruption. We're going to stop being okay with addiction. We're going to stop being okay with rebellion. We're going to stop allowing this to take over the atmosphere. This is our house. This is our city. These are our homes. These are our children. And we're not going to stand by. We're not going to be one of those that flee anymore. I'm going to ask you this morning, if you would accept the call to arms, would you come? Simply lay your hand on the grip of the sword. Feel for a second what it feels like to put your hands on a weapon and accept the call. And then go and find yourself a place. Just go find yourself a place and begin to cry out to God and say, God, I accept the call to arms today. Would you do it right now? Come on. Come on. All over the building. Thank you. Come on. All over the house today. Grab the sword and then move to a place. Move to a place. As quickly as you can, as quickly as you can. Move to a place where you can begin to call out to God. Quickly. Tell Him, I accept the call. I accept the challenge. Come on. Let faith arise. on, church.
Jesus for my family, I speak the Holy.
Come on, church, engage. Come on, church. Take the challenge. Today I ask that you would cause our blinders to come off. God, today that you would cause us to see with supernatural eyes. Father, today, Father, that you would cause us to see what's happening behind the scenes. That you would cause us to begin to engage in warfare, in spiritual warfare. God, that we would begin to take the responsibility of the house as sons. God, that we would realize that we are the heirs, that we are the children, that we are the defenders of the house, God. Father, that we have the light. We are the light in the darkness, God. That we are the only thing standing in between the lost and standing against the darkness. Help us, Father. Help us to engage, God. Help us to engage, God, in a supernatural way, God. Help us to begin to see the severity of the darkness, but to begin to have the confidence that greater are you in us than he that's in the world. And that the enemy is already defeated, God. And our time isn't up until we're moved out of the way. Our time isn't up. Satan, my time isn't up. Satan, my time isn't up. This is still my post. My time isn't up. You can't have it till I'm done with it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.